Hello everyone and welcome to a new episode of Glitters of Life podcast. I am your host Rohit Kokne and today we have with us a very special guest. She's Heather Vickery. She's a transformational success coach and she loves to talk about human design and she's everything is backed with her knowledge about the NLP as well. So Heather, welcome on the show. It is such a pleasure to host you.
Thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
Definitely. And we have taken up such an interesting topic. I have always been fascinated with whatever you were doing on internet. I have listened to your podcast as well. You do Instagram lives and all. So that has really intrigued me that we will be having a great conversation. So I was always fascinated by the people who radiate confidence. That is something I observed in you. A sense of knowing their own worth and carving their own path. Yeah, that is what I have been looking into you. So I'm really curious, like, where does that strength and self-assuredness comes from? Like, is it something that you already had or like you crafted into this own journey of yours?
Yeah, Rohit, that's a really good question because I think, in fact, I know that a lot of people like you observe how I show up socially, like on, you know, online. And assume it means a couple of things. They assume it means that I'm an extrovert. I am not. It assumes that I feel like always super comfortable and I don't have any problem with it. And that's totally not true. So it is a learned skill for sure. Now, I have been a public speaker for a long time. I should go all the way back. I'm a theater girly. I love being on stage. I've always loved being on stage, but I get terrible stage fright, like really bad. But I love being on stage. And I love keynote speaking and doing all of that. But video was a really big challenge for me because you can see yourself and you can nitpick. Oh, but I didn't look good or it didn't sound good. And I'm watching myself today. I'm like, God, I really need a fucking haircut. Sorry, can I curse on your show?
Is that okay? We talked about having that wig.
I know. We were joking last night. You had the funniest meme up on Instagram the cat, you know, when you're just recording audio versus when you're recording video and the cat had a wig. I was like, do I need my wig? And I'm like, oh man. Yeah, that meant I had to actually get dressed and take off my hoodie, which sometimes, to be fair, we're talking about showing up authentic on camera. Sometimes I show up in my hoodie and I'm like, this is me today. This is what I'm feeling today, even for my live show, which doesn't happen a lot, but it definitely happens. So it takes a lot of practice and a lot of repetition. And if I'm being fair, I still much prefer an audience. I do great like this. I can talk to you. I can see you. I don't have to worry about it. When I do my live show, I live stream on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, and I can see that there are people watching and I can see the comments coming in. So I just, I'm like, okay, I have an audience. I can talk to the audience. But when I have to record something and there's not someone on the other end, it is very stressful. And in my Spark Collective, which is my membership community, every month I drop just a little, you know, bite-sized bit of content and I do videos a lot and I have to really like prep myself. I'm like, okay, Heather, it's 7 fucking minutes. It's 7 fucking minutes of talking to the camera. You can do this. You don't have to record it several times. You don't have to second guess yourself. You've got bullet points. Like, you know what you're doing. And the biggest tip for me in that scenario has been when I screw up, which inevitably I do, I just pause, take a deep breath and start over. And then I edit later instead of what I used to do. How many of you in the audience do this? What I used to do was stop it, delete it, start it over, stop it, delete it, start it over. It was infuriating. So it is not that easy. It does get easier. It is a learnable skill.
Right. I get that.
And I think for me, it's easier because I really believe in what I'm talking about. I really know that what I share makes a difference in people's lives and helps them show up for themselves and belong to themselves and trust themselves. And I know that message has to get out. So I'm going to get it out.
Definitely. And you mentioned that particular keyword, like belonging to yourself. And we are going to have that conversation around it. But many of us struggle with the imposter syndrome. That is what I have observed. Even at few instances, I have faced that particular thing, like feeling like we don't belong even in our lives as well. So if that particular thing happens, how can we silence this internal critic? Because it is really important to shed light on it. And See, once we are once we have to silence that, we have to cultivate something against it. Like we have to deep-rooted a sense of belonging within ourselves as well. So what's your take on to that particular topic? Because once we are belonging to ourselves, it really gets important to know like how we are going to deal with the imposter syndrome as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, imposter syndrome is something that happens to the best of us.
Yeah.
On my podcast, Was It Chance? We interviewed a man named Steve Kam. And Steve has built this online fitness empire by just being really honest. It's called Nerd Fitness. And I love it because it's so anti-bro. But we talked about this and he's like, the important thing is to make sure you're comparing yourself to things that are comparable. When we have imposter syndrome, we are often comparing ourselves to somebody who's light years ahead of us in our industry or in our field. That doesn't do anybody any favors. And really, what we need to do is simply compare ourselves to ourselves. And I'm reminded of a story. My oldest daughter, who's a freshman in college now, she was in middle school. She ran track and she liked running. She told me that when she was running, she could think better. She felt more centered. I, however, you're never going to find me running. Like, I don't understand that, but I believe her. And she would run track and she was always last every time. And I would say, how are you feeling about running? And she was like, I did 7 seconds better than the last time. I feel great. Right? So
great.
It wasn't about being the best on the field. It was about being the best version of you and just moving the needle a little bit. And with imposter syndrome, that's what we really want to train ourselves to do. And that's actually something that we actively do in the Spark Collective, which is the membership that I mentioned. Because if you are honest with yourself, if you are practicing the Brave method, which is my patented coaching method, reassessing, reframing, setting boundaries, being honest, being in action, inspired action. If you're doing that, it's much easier to silence those imposter voices. It doesn't mean that they don't show up. It just means you can move through them a little more quickly. The other thing that has helped me massively is human design. And human design is a modern scientific self-discovery method that combines the Chinese I Ching, Kabbalah, Buddhism, quantum physics, astrology, and the chakra system. And I can tell you things about you that you are like, you should not know that because I don't know you. But your chart is really brilliant. And what that gives me is the ability to understand myself better, understand that I am only competing with myself, that we are all very different. I can let go of judgment. I can let go of all sorts of stories. Like my number one limiting voice has always been, as long as I can remember, you don't work hard enough. Oh, Heather, you don't work hard enough. Everybody's out here hustling and you need a nap. Like what is wrong with you? You don't work hard enough. And now I know that I'm a projector in human design and projectors are designed to rest before we can be successful. Mm-hmm. We are not hustlers. We do not have motors. I don't even have an energy center. I'm what's called a classic projector. I need to find creative ways to do my work and honor myself and do whatever the hell I want the rest of the time if I want to be successful. And the more I do that, the more successful I am. So human design, I think, has helped all of my clients and it certainly helped me silence some of that imposter syndrome voice because you just have more information. And the more information you have, the better decision you can make.
Right. And again, we have our own journey. It is different than what we are seeing onto the internet. We don't have to compare again. Like if I have mention an example of a swimming pool, it may be deep at one end, but it's shallow at the other as well. So you just have to find your own spot and swim into that particular area first and then get ahead. Because we have seen like people like on Threads right now have been more active on it particularly. And I have seen like a lot of podcasters, few people are like going well ahead with that particular numbers and they are doing absolutely great. But on the other hand, few people are just getting started and they're getting so cautious about like how I'll be approaching this particular thing and all. So it pains me. Like you just have to take it very slowly. You're just getting started. You just have to enjoy that particular process so that it gets easier for you. And again, you are into your own journey. You will be having your own success as well. So as you rightly mentioned, like you talked about your program as well, like how you use those particular techniques. If you figure out those particular points, I feel that we'll be in a better position to deal with those currents. But again, when we are talking more about the belonging to yourself, it feels like we are swimming against the current. of the societal expectations as well. Like, there are many of them. They have been defined very differently by different people and the cultures as well. So what would be your advice to those people who are just starting to prioritize their own inner world? Because even it feels like uncomfortable, like I want to start, but I'm not getting that particular push.
Yeah, it is really difficult. And I find for most people over the, this is fascinating, for most people over the age of 40, it's when it just hurts too much to not belong to yourself. When it's just too painful to live in your life, you're like, something's got to change and I don't know what it is. And also there's something happens around 40 where we just start giving zero fucks, like for real. We're like, I just don't need to care about this. And we don't know that when we're younger because we haven't had enough life experience to prove that to be true. Like, you have to learn that. So there's that group of folks. But in the Spark Collective, I'm noticing that we have a lot of younger and younger people coming in. And there's something really magical about this younger generation where they are able to like see what's happening and go, oh, I want that. I'm not, I don't have to do that. I'm not going to do that. And, you know, I'm a Gen Xer, I'm 49. Like, we did a lot of shit we thought we had to do. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's some sort of cosmic shift. I'm not sure. But so there's people who are like in so much pain that they're not willing to accept it anymore. And then there are people who are like, I'm going to avoid that. We're not going to do that. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to be healthy. It's the oxygen mask effect, right? Like, you cannot take care of someone else if you're drowning or if you don't have any air to breathe, right? And it's very counterintuitive to what the boomers were taught and the Gen Xers were taught. Like, we had to unlearn that. And I think younger generations are being raised to go, no, it's important. You got to take care of yourself. You really have to take care of yourself. And when you take care of yourself, when you choose yourself, when you honor yourself, when you belong to yourself, you're a much better support system for the people you love and care about. Whether those are family members, friends, clients, community members, doesn't matter. You then bring so much more to the table. And not the least of which is mirroring that behavior, modeling that behavior. Other people can go, wow. And I think they do that with me, and I don't have it right all the time, but they go, wow, Heather really shows up for herself. She really honors what is right for her. Well, maybe I could try that.
Yeah. That is something that we have to introspect, because we have seen the generation shift. Like, you're talking about the Generation X and all. I'm a millennial. I have my own set of expectations. I have my own set of doing things out there. And right now, like, if I have to work with the Gen Z kids and those people, it's totally a different experience, because I wouldn't say they are totally fast, they are totally creative. But then again, we just have to hold their horses really well, because like, take a deep breath, then we can proceed with the things that we are wanting to take ahead, because it's very different experience. And as we said, like, we have to take that particular first step, otherwise it won't be possible to see what kind of current we are swimming into. And there are societal expectations. They are largely putting up a lot of burden onto ourselves, and that really pains a lot, and many people give up the fact of taking their journey ahead through that. But during all this course, Heather, I have seen that vulnerability is something that people seem it just acts as the weakness for them. But again, it's always crucial for them to build that particular authentic connection as well with their own selves. So how we can use this vulnerability as an aspect towards the self-belonging?
Vulnerability / authenticity is absolutely key. And I want you said something a while ago that I want to just highlight, like, it actually doesn't have to be easy. It might not be easier. It's just worth it. Eventually, things become easier, because anytime we flex a muscle over and over again, we get more comfortable with it. But it just becomes worth it. Like, you know, having strong boundaries and speaking up for yourself and being honest and true and authentic is not always the easiest thing to do, but it is always the worthwhile thing to do.
So true.
Brené Brown says that vulnerability is the birthplace of invention, and that is 100% true. It's where all of our truth comes from. There's a really interesting scientific study, and I'm so sorry, but right now I cannot think of my reference point. But if you guys want it, I can find it and send it to you. Right? Scientists were able to separate. They were able to prove the law of attraction, and this relates to what we're talking about. The law of attraction, yeah, with what you put out is what you get back, right? Do you know? They were checking vibration, energy vibration. They can literally scientifically measure it, which is very cool to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what the highest vibration of energy is that one can put out? What do you think it is?
I have no idea. Like, I haven't thought about this before.
I know. That's the whole point. You're not supposed to have thought about it. Like, off the top of your head, what do you think it is?
You have to mention me in terms of scale, or like, how do I have to tell about that?
Just energy, emotion. What emotion or energy do you think is the highest vibrating energy?
It's more about like how happy I feel at that particular moment. Like that is okay. Something that I will
say.
So
you feel like it's happiness. Yeah.
Yeah.
My go-to answer was love. I was like, oh, it's got to be love. Love has to be the highest vibration. It's got to be it. It's not. It's authenticity. Authenticity has the highest energetic vibration. What that means is people are receiving your authenticity and they're giving it back. It's very cool science, right? So choosing vulnerability, choosing authenticity means that people can tell you're not full of shit. They can tell that you are being honest. They can tell that they are safer with you or not. If you are authentically a terrible person, they're like, oh, I need to back off. Like, right, we can see what we're dealing with. And, you know, I do a corporate training program, a leadership program called Empowerment. And we literally teach people to lead from wherever they sit by being more authentic and empowering themselves. Empowerment is inside work. It's not something I can give you. It's not something you can learn from a book. You empower yourself when you show up for yourself. You ask yourself the hard questions. You do the work. And that leads to vulnerability and authenticity. And it will absolutely change the way you choose to interact with everyone and how everyone else will interact with you.
Definitely. And it fosters the kind of a building of community way easier. Because when we are authentic, we know like what kind of person I am and how I'll be reflecting that particular energy to others as well. So that the collaboration, the synergy effect takes a very interesting turn towards that particular situation or a moment. And I totally loved the kind of example you gave with respect to the study that you have done with respect to what we were talking. But as we talked about the success, like when we are belonging to ourselves, we always try to attach our worth with respect to the kind of achievements that we had earlier in our life. But it is not always the case, because it's not just the sign of like we are successful, we are totally worthy of everything in our own life. So how we can focus, like how we can shift that particular focus to self-worth? Because there are few things which exist externally as well, like which may hamper our growth, but we just try to kind of boast with respect to the success. So what would be your take about that particular thing?
So we're talking about how we can feel successful even though we're not always successful. Is that the question?
Yeah.
Positive psychology, which I'm certified in, teaches us that gratitude is the number one thing that increases overall happiness, joy, and well-being while decreasing stress, anxiety, and depression. Along with gratitude comes celebration. They're together. They partner with each other really beautifully. So what are we celebrating if we're not celebrating successes, right? The science behind it proves that if you will list 3 to 5 things you're grateful for every day and why for 3 months, an MRI will literally show that you are a more balanced, joy-filled person. Okay? Success is what you make it.
Yeah.
Success is what you decide makes you successful. It's, again, it's comparing yourself only to your own best score. The other thing is, you get to decide every single day, what do I have to give today? Do I have 100% today? Do I have 15% today? If you have 15%, and you show up and you give that 15%, you are 100% successful in that day. You get to decide what success is. Make it manageable. Again, this comes from NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. Set achievable, measurable outcomes. They don't have to be massive. It can be small, intentional, inspired actions. And then when you achieve them, fucking celebrate them and be aware, because the more you celebrate, the more there is to celebrate. The more you feel good about your success, the more you show up to be more successful. It begets itself. Success begets success.
Yeah.
But not if you are looking at what everybody else is doing. It has to be on your own trajectory, on your own path, and on your own terms.
There are a lot many tiny elements that we have to celebrate, and we often try to focus on just the bigger picture, but there are small elements that we have to focus, navigate our ways through it, and then enjoy whatever thing we are doing. And it was a great conversation about belonging to yourself. Now we'll be shifting gears to we have the another topic, which is coming home to yourself. And that is something that I have observed within you. If I'm right now imagining that you have arrived at your home. So for you, how does it look like, feel like, and sound like? I want your vision towards that particular thing.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. To me, they are pretty much the same concept. Belonging to yourself. Sometimes you have to come home to yourself before you can belong to yourself. You
might,
but coming home to yourself is truly being that authentic, vulnerable person. Coming home to yourself is, this is what I need for me to be the happiest, healthiest version of myself. And I recognize that not everybody's going to like that. Not everybody's going to want me to do that, especially if you are an old school people pleaser, right? Because as soon as you start coming home to yourself and being authentic and setting boundaries and saying no, saying yes to yourself, plenty of people are going to be bent out of shape because it's going to affect them. But anybody who gets upset with you choosing to belong to yourself or come home to yourself, it's very selfish. It's because they want to take advantage of you, right? People who really want to see you thrive and succeed, they want that for you. They want you to set those boundaries. So, coming home to yourself is figuring out who you are. So again, this is something we actively do in the Spark Collective, figuring out who you are and what you actually want and how you want to experience the world and who you want to be in the world. And then, folks, and then making inspired choices and taking inspired action to actually do and be those things.
Right. And during that particular journey, we are going to disappoint a lot of people, but you don't have to care about that. We just have to make sure that we are making progress, and that progress is putting us on a forward path is what we have to strive for. But during all this process, Heather, I have seen that it requires facing some kind of uncomfortable truths as well, because we can't hide them. It just reflects through our energy, through our body language as well. So how we can cultivate that particular courage to confront those uncomfortable truths as well, because we have to heal ourselves. We have to find the integration during that particular process as well. And if we are just aligning all of this, then it will be a great journey for us. So what's your take on that particular element?
Start small and keep track of your evidence, right? What's one tiny little thing you can do to show up for yourself, to be super honest today? Is it setting a boundary? Is it saying no? Is it saying yes? What is it? Be really specific, make it small and manageable. There's a real big difference in commitments and goals. Goals are things you're working towards. Commitments are things you're doing. Goals can have metrics. Those metrics are often commitments, right? The actionable steps are the commitments. What can you commit to doing? And then, and this is so important, then you have to reflect. Then you have to look at the thing that you did. Did that, how did that feel? Did I like it? Do I want more of it? Did it get me the results that I want? If it didn't, what could I do differently? Do I want to keep it, change it, scrap it, right? This is the brave method, right? This is when we put the brave method into action. So you want to get really cozy with what you're doing. Lots of reassessment and reframing, and then resilience. Resilience is the key indicator into whether or not a person will be successful. It's not skill, y'all. You can be the most skilled person in the world, but if you're not resilient, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You've got to get up and do it again differently. So you have to look at it. You have to pay attention to it, shift it. It's really moving away from that. This was my live show yesterday, actually, moving away from that old idea of a ready, aim, fire. Like, I'm going to get ready. I'm going to set my eyes on the mark and then I'm going to fire. What you really need to be doing is ready, fire, aim. You need to get ready and just put it out there and try it and then look at it. Where did I land? How close was I? Do I want something different now? How did that feel? And then you can recalibrate. Then you aim and fire again. That's how you get successful.
Such a lovely explanation to that. I'm just getting newer and newer perspectives through this conversation, Heather. It's totally amusing. Like when we talk about these kind of things, it just shapes our personality as well, because it gives you a kind of a new direction to your thoughts as well. And then our actions are planned accordingly. But during all this course of action, like a person is moving ahead, but he or she carries that kind of invisible baggage as well, because, and it's in our mind always, like it troubles at some moments. Like if we fail at that particular attempt, we just get cautious about like, oh, how I'm going to approach my next step. So how we can unpack this baggage? Because we have to be compassionate enough. We just have to release that particular old baggage, because right now we are living in the present moment, and that is how it will shape our future as well. So I want to know that.
Yeah. How to unpack that baggage slowly and honestly and bit by bit. And some of it may never fully dissipate. And also let that be okay. There's a lot of self-compassion work that needs to partner with all of the stuff I've talked about. You're going to make so many mistakes.
Yeah.
You're going to need to forgive yourself in so many ways for so many reasons. The other thing you can do, I think, that really helps you unpack that kind of baggage is to take ownership. So in NLP, we call it being of cause instead of in effect. Take ownership for everything that happens in your life. Everything. Go back through all of the wrongs that have ever been done to you, all of the things that you are unhappy with, choices that you don't like, or things people did to, quote unquote, did to you. I am not discrediting, like, sometimes really bad things happen to people.
Yeah.
What you can control is what you do about it, how you choose to let it inform you, what your mindset is about it. Okay. So I know this terrible thing happened. And now what do I want to do? Now that I know this, who do I want to be? What choices do I want to make? Go through them. And how can you take ownership? How can you be of cause with your involvement with those things? Because you can't change or control anyone or anything except yourself. But when you change yourself, the people around you change. The way you feel about something changes. The way you show up in the world changes. So take ownership of it, no matter what. It does not mean forgiving. It doesn't have to mean forgiving. It doesn't have to mean forgetting. And forgiveness, I'm a big fan of forgiveness, because I think forgiveness is a freedom technique. I'm not here to tell everybody they have to forgive, except yourself. For God's sakes, forgive yourself. Please, please forgive yourself. But forgiveness isn't about forgetting.
Yeah.
It's about just moving on. It's about deciding this doesn't need to own me. This doesn't have to have power over me anymore. I'm going to let it go. But it doesn't mean you forget. It doesn't mean maybe you're not going to ever talk to that person again, or you're not going to ever be in that space again. That's okay. That's all right.
That's something really important that we have to understand, because for me, it has always been like when I'm focusing on my future thing, it's more about like whatever has happened in the past, I don't have any control over it. Like I just try to assess like, why did it happen? Will it be a big game changer into my own journey? And accordingly, I'll be just making amends to it so that it becomes a lot easier to proceed ahead. But when we are talking about just again, the coming home to yourself, home is not always that kind of a physical place that we feel comfortable into.
Of course.
Like right now, I'm into this office. It's not just my comfort place. Like it may be, it may not be on the other day as well. So it's more about belonging within ourselves. So
coming home to yourself is a metaphor. Yeah. It's a metaphor for what's happening inside of your heart and your body.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So have you practiced any kind of rituals to cultivate that particular sense of inner peace and acceptance into your life as well?
Yes, absolutely. Regular like I said, the 3 R's and the Brave Method, regular reassessment and reframing helps me do that. EFT tapping helps me do that. Guided visualization helps me do that. Taking time for quiet, for solitude, to actually hear myself, which is a terrifying thing to do in so many cases. Like, I'm afraid of what I will find if I get quiet with myself, but you can't confront things that you aren't willing to admit exist. So yes, lots of tools and resources. And again, this is exactly what we're doing in the Spark Collective, right? It's ways for you to show up for yourself, to come home to yourself, to belong to yourself in, you know, less than 10 or 15 minutes a day, just a couple times a week. And we play with all sorts of different modalities and resources so that you can find the ones that most resonate with you. You can do havening, which is a great one. I love havening. Lots of different tools and resources for that.
That's such a great way to proceed with that particular thing, because we all find peace and acceptance in different forms of practices. We have to choose whatever suits us the best. And again, like, it's a total individual experience, but you just have to follow, like, what's the kind of a ritual, how you'll be staying committed into that particular process. And then we just have to see, like, is it working or not? And it just makes us brave. Now that it brings to the concept and the topic of bravery, this is such a unique way, like, and I've seen that you have been talking often about bravery, because we all need that kind of we have to take those brave steps as well. We have to be focused onto the parts of our life which will be kind of a courageous as well, which will be bringing results accordingly. But sometimes a few brave choices are quite quieter as well. Like, if we are setting boundary with a loved one, that would be a bravery. If you are living a kind of a dead end job, that is again a part and parcel of it. Saying no to certain kind of opportunities, like if it doesn't align with your values. So was there any kind of a moment of bravery into your own life that made a significant difference or the impact that it had?
There's so many. There have been so many of them. but the first most notable one is deciding at the age of 38 to come out of the closet and get a divorce and close a business and start a new one and literally just sort of burn my life back down and start over, this time on my own terms. And it required all of these things. That's actually how I ended up creating all of this, is because I had to get honest with myself. I had to get comfortable with myself. I had to do hard things. I had to set boundaries. I had to say no. I had to ask for help. I had to trust myself. And so all of these things then have become what I bring to the table to help and support other people.
How difficult it was, Heather?
So difficult. So difficult. The most difficult thing ever. And also the most worth it. Just because it's right doesn't make it easy.
Yeah.
That's what I said when you said you're going to get comfortable with it. You might not get comfortable. I mean, eventually you'll get more comfortable with it. But I'm 10 years out from all of that happening. And there are plenty of times where I still carry tremendous guilt and shame and fear. And I have to, like, really, really be tender and gentle with myself, give myself grace and self-compassion, and go back through all of the tools and tips and resources and realign myself with why I made those choices and why they were the right choices for me.
Again, the key word, right choices. It doesn't get easier, but then you have to opt for them. And again, you have to see the results for your own sake. And during this particular journey, have you met someone who radiates that particular bravery?
Every day I meet someone who radiates that particular bravery. You all do.
Thank you.
Just maybe on different scales, right? I can see people's brave choices much easier than they can. I can see that just showing up to listen to this conversation is probably brave for you. It's going to unlock something for you that you weren't ready to unlock before or couldn't hear before. Everyone I meet has the capacity to do this.
Right. And all of them have got a different secret sauce of their own, and they're just putting out that particular recipe to each and everyone. We just have to see, like, what tastes better for our own journey, and then we have to make a way throughout it. But I have seen, like, when we are talking more about the bravery as well, few people just confuse it with the reckless impulsiveness. So what's the difference between reckless impulsiveness and if we talk about the calculated bravery? Because if we have to, like, discern when to lead boldly and when to pause and strategize, what would be your approach towards that?
Okay, so my podcast is called Was It Chance? It's the show about taking intentional risk for creative success. I am inherently a risk taker. I really like taking risks, and I believe in the power of taking risks. Sometimes those are calculated and sometimes they aren't. But I want to just dispel the difference in bravery isn't really what toxic masculinity teaches us bravery is. Bravery isn't, you know, climbing mountains and lifting cars and, like, it's not just being reckless. Bravery is embracing your fear and getting comfortable with it and deciding to make intentional choices and action, right? So when we're talking about risk taking, yeah, you can mitigate your risks. You can take a look at what feels right to you. I kind of always personally go with sort of a, if it feels like a good scary, like the butterflies in my belly, I'm like, oh my God, that's terrifying. But my heart tells me, yes, I'm here for that. I will also say that through human design, we can identify everybody's authority, which is your innate decision-making process. When you know that, it is much easier to make decisions and choices. Even if they feel risky, you know they're the right one for you. So one of the things that I help people do is make decisions with their body, learning how to understand your body's responses and reactions. And from there, risk doesn't feel so much like risk because you know it's right for you.
Yep. And you did talk about, like, mitigating those particular risks, but we have seen that courage isn't always about, like, overcoming those fears. At times, you just have to make sure that you are learning to live while it exists as well. So did you ever feel into your own journey that you got anxious with respect to the fear that you had? So what were the strategies that you adopted during that particular phase?
Can you repeat that question again, maybe in a different way?
Maybe, like, what are some strategies that you use to manage anxiety and move forward despite internal fear?
Yeah, all of the things I mentioned before, right? All of them. Quiet time with myself, being honest, reflection work, EFT tapping, guided visualization. I mean, you have to get really clear on what you want so that you can build it. And knowing what you're working for, knowing what you're reaching for, all of that is really, really, really important in this process. Really important in this process.
So true. Right. And Heather, coming on to the last part of this episode, if we are just going to have a manifesto for all of this, like if you're talking about belonging to yourself, coming home to yourself, then bravery, peace and joy, what would you love to have in it? Like, if you have a list of, say, like 5 to 6 items into it, what would be those? Because people here want to learn about, like, how they can practice all of this, how they can become a better person during their own journey. And it will just add glitters to their life as well. So a manifesto about all of this, what it will include in it.
To manifest all of this?
Like a manifesto of everything.
I don't have any different answers than I've already given you. Like, you just have to do the work, right? You really just have to show up for yourself. You have to find the tools and resources that resonate with you, that physically feel good to you, that emotionally feel good to you. Take what you want from everything I've shared, from any mentors or guides that you like. Take what resonates and release what doesn't. Be of cause. Take responsibility for yourself, your choices, your actions, your ways of being. And don't be in reaction. Right? Catch yourself. Are you being of cause? Are you being in reaction? And then be really honest about what you actually desire for yourself so that you can then intentionally make choices and embody behaviors that get you where you want to go. You're in charge and you can do this.
Yes, we are in charge of our own life. And again, pulling back that particular word that we earlier talked about, be authentic in your own journey so that you'll start attracting right set of people. It will just add more and more value to your life. And it has been such a great conversation, Heather, with you. I got to learn a lot. I hope that our viewers and listeners will be having the same experience. And if anyone would love to connect with Heather, I'll be mentioning her socials into the episode description. You can definitely reach out to her, learn from her, and consume her resources, her courses. And Heather, again, like, thank you so much for being so honest on this conversation. It did add glitters to my life as well, and I am wishing the same to yours as well. And thank you for giving me this opportunity, and I wish you all the best in your future endeavors.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I would love to connect with any of you. I'm vickeryandco.com is my website where all my socials are. Let's hang out. I'm on Threads, right? That's where Rohit and I met, and we chat up there all the time and Instagram, and let's be friends.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much. Stay happy, stay healthy. Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye.